Life Audio.
Hi, I'm Emma Dancy, and welcome to Her Many Hats podcast, where we explore how women wear many hats while serving one God. Whatever role you are fulfilling, the Lord is using you in incredible ways. Let's take some time to seek the scriptures and learn how we can best honor Christ with the hats that we wear. Hey friends, and welcome back to Her Many Hats podcast. I'm your host, Emma Dancy, and I'm so excited to be here with you to explore the hat of unifier. We as women have a lot of different opportunities and roles that we are able to play in life, and a unique one is being a unifier. John 13:35 says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about and to dive into your word, to learn what it's like to be someone who is a unifier in you. God, please help us as there's chaos and division and the enemy is greatly at work in our households and communities and in the body of Christ even. Lord, we just pray that your spirit would fill us up so that we can fight the good fight of faith and we can be able to share the hope that we have, which is in you. And we can be people of peace, peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Lord, would you allow us to step in to the hard places and to be a witness and a light for you. Amen. In this verse in John, it goes through three different parts. And so today we are going to talk about each one of these parts. And first it says, "By this everyone will know." When Jesus says everyone, he means all people. The Greek word found in John 13:35 is pontes, which means all or for all. Part of wearing the hat of unity means that as Christ followers, we are not inclusive to only love one type of person or a certain group of people. Unity means inclusivity. It is having a spirit of welcome and care. This shows up in how we treat people who look differently than us, act the opposite, have different interests. We do not disregard others because of our own personal preferences. And this can be really hard because since we're young, in school, we can see divisions and groups because of interest or because of like-mindedness. And there's nothing wrong with naturally being drawn to people who maybe have a similar hobby than you or who have a similar story or history. However, if we live in those places, if we don't find ways to bridge the gaps towards those who are different, then we're missing out on the unity of what Christ intended for the church. God said in the beginning of time that he was making mankind in his image. How often do we try to encourage others to fit our own image instead of God's image of them that points to him in a different way than we do? Unity starts with humility. We got to be humble in self, and we have to surrender to the greater cause for the name of Jesus to be known over comfort and our personal goals. This means that we need to be aware everywhere that we go that we are representatives of the kingdom of God. If we become known as that woman who always gossips or that woman who has a harsh attitude towards others, we're not going to draw other people towards the love of God. We are not going to let them see the unity that Jesus sets as an example for us. We're going to misrepresent him and repel others rather than attract them to the truth that has set them free. The next portion of this verse says, "My disciples." As we think about Jesus saying, "My disciples," it leads us to think on the personal relationship that he has with those who follow him. He says, "My." This causes us to ask the question, are we living in a way that honors him? Am I living like a disciple of Jesus? It is one thing to say that I believe in Christ, but out of a true understanding and genuine faith, will my life choices reveal my commitment to Him? And this includes in unity. As we remember the original 12 disciples of Jesus, they were a diverse group of guys. There were fishermen and tax collectors, both eating at the table with Jesus, with actually also a zealot, by the way, a radical. This would not have made sense to onlookers. Unity in the body of Christ is often puzzling to people in the world. When a group of believers is joined together because of the transforming work of Jesus, and yet they all have very little in common, the world scratches their heads and begins to think. This is a huge testimony to others. However, what if Jesus set the model by only going after carpenter sons, just like him from Bethlehem? What if all of his disciples were exactly the same? He was not trying to create uniformity. He was transforming lives by bringing unity to a broken and corrupt world. We also read many times about women who participated in ministry with Jesus. Although they weren't named among the 12 disciples, a lot of them were actually with them in many of the miracles and the teachings of Christ. We should feel encouraged as women that Jesus values us and God has a plan for us as his disciples. However, it is not easy as a woman to seek out unity. Many times we are much worse than men on causing divisions and drama and cliques. It starts in middle school and unfortunately continues into adulthood for some. As followers of Jesus, we need to remember that we are either making choices for the kingdom of light or darkness. There's no in between. If we're not careful, we can begin to create divides where Jesus came for there to be peace and oneness. And then lastly, it says, if you love one another. Loving one another helps others to see Christ. This is convicting because the body of Christ, myself included, have not loved one another perfectly or even well. When the world looks in and sees church splits over carpet colors or segregated congregations or a church with people only under the age of 30, it speaks a dangerous message to the world. However, when we choose to work together in spite of our differences, handle conflict by the Spirit's help, take steps of unification of ages and races, we can have a greater impact on those around us looking in. They can look and decide that they want to be a part of that because it is genuine, authentic, and inviting. The word love and the word unity are often used in society today. However, in using a biblical definition of these words, we know that our goal is not to be indifferent or passive about sin, but truthful in a kind way. I feel like it's an important matter to address as the church because sometimes the word unity can be thrown out as an excuse to be more like the world. But the unity that Christ has to offer is very different. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." Love and truth go hand in hand. In order for there to be unity, there has to be truth in love. Maturity and genuine relationships with others come not only in the easy times, but also in the challenging ones. We grow in our unity with others when we share the hard truths out of the heart of compassion. For example, if someone smiled and told me that she was smoking, and I knew that she would get lung cancer from smoking, and I did not want her to go through that because I cared about her, then the loving thing for me would not be to say, oh, that is so wonderful. I'm so happy for you. You keep doing you. You just smoke all you want and get that lung cancer. However, would that really be loving to her? Many times as Christians, we get worried that unity means acceptance. We must remember that unity is not mingling with sin and supporting it. Unity means welcoming the sinner to the table with Jesus, to be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit within community. So yes, that means I share hard truths in love. And it might temporarily cause some conflict or some tension, but in the end, it would result in unity as people seek the Holy Spirit and know that He is working among community. 2 Corinthians 6:14b says, "Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Jesus welcomed sinners, but He never encouraged sin. Our unity in Christ is not going to look identical to what the world claims as unity. It is important to know that unity in the Spirit is a spiritual blessing, and we look different than those around us who do not have faith in Christ. It will intrigue them and hopefully reveal the authentic gift that we have in God and in one another. So to wrap up, I want to read that verse again as we think about how love binds us in unity. John 13:35 says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." What is one area of your life that you are causing disunity in? And how can you turn to the Holy Spirit for help to better represent Jesus? That's a really convicting question because we all honestly have areas of sin. And we have people or groups that we have a natural tendency to cause disunity in. And so think about that area this week and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to turn from that tendency and to choose unity in Christ. Also, how are you welcoming people who are different from you into the body of Christ? Again, it goes completely against our sinful nature. We want to be with those who are just like us, and we want to have this bubble of our church bodies. But we need to learn to reach out to those who are different. And it could be something as simple as different, financial situation, or something as simple as different hobbies. Whatever that might be, ask the Lord to reveal that to you this week so that you can be more welcoming and Christ-honoring and a unifier among your church. And then lastly, how have you been fearful of Christ-centered unity because of the way the world defines unity? This is really challenging. A lot of times we can be afraid of the word unity. Unifier can sound daunting to us because we hear the word so often in the media or in culture, meaning something completely different than what Christ has called us to. Jesus is the foundation, the anchor for our faith and our unity. He is the one who brings us together at the table. So what is it that has scared you about this word and pressing in to people that are different than you and being a witness by showing that all are welcome to come to Jesus? Whether they've been in prison, whether they've been a prostitute, whether they have murdered, we welcome all people to Jesus because Jesus pursued every single person from the wealthiest to the poorest, from the most popular to the most outcasted. Everyone was welcome. And so this week, I pray that as you think about the hat of unifier, that you allow the Holy Spirit to help reveal and search your heart so that if there is anything within you or within me that we would be able to have clear eyes of how we can have a better walk with the Lord and wear the hat of Unifier in a more powerful and effective way as a witness of the gospel of Christ. Have an amazing week.
Her Many Hats is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. To hear more from Emma, visit her site, emmadanzy.wordpress.com. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a minute and leave us a rating and review in your podcast app? It really does help us connect to more listeners like you. This podcast is produced by Kelly Givens and Stephen Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
What do you do when your world is falling apart? How do you march when it would be easier to stay where you are and die? Join me every week on the March or Die podcast, and we'll discuss that and so much more.